Hello and welcome to the podcast for Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. This is a message that Tom Jobe pre-recorded for our Sunday morning worship service, which aired on Sunday morning, March 7th, 2021, and he spoke about communion.
Hey everyone, so it's Lent. We're in the middle of Lent. Our nation's president said yesterday that there could be a vaccination for everyone who wants it in by May. Oh, so hey, this might be almost over with. But, you know, a lot of people are giving up stuff for Lent. I was reading a survey that they did on Twitter, 116,000 Twitter responses of what people were giving up for Lent. The number one thing people are giving up for Lent, according to this Twitter survey, is Twitter. So I was hoping that that would be the tweet to give up Twitter was the last tweet they twit before they went Twitterless. And if they can't, they might need to go to on a spiritual retweet. But, you know, other people were giving up stuff like, smoking. One person said breathing. That's probably the person who wasn't able to give up smoking. And a lot of people said pasta. And I'm like, it would be easier to give up breathing for me. They'd give up, smoking. I remember how hard that one was. Then to give up pasta. Some people gave kind of, super easy answers. Like one person said, I'm giving up Lent for Lent. One person said, I'm giving up things for Lent. Somebody said they're giving up their virginity for Lent, but I feel like the last year we've been through of the coronavirus, I just feel like, haven't we all given up enough stuff and things in the last year for 20 Lents? You know, I thought if a person was going to make this Lent easier, I would give up things like hugging strangers and hugging people outside my bubble or going to indoor bars, indoor sports, indoor church, or I'm going to give up exposing my nose and my chin and everything in between in public, but one thing, I always felt like kind of for Lent, I love Lent, like as kind of a time to spiritually hit reset on so many different things. But I've always maybe been a little bit suspicious of it, like the idea that if you're hard on yourself, that's holier, or if you're doing something that makes you sad, that sad is holier than happiness and joy. I've kind of had that suspicion that people feel that way, like in church when you do communion, and usually communion is something that makes people pretty sad. It's always usually kind of sad. But the word for communion, like the liturgical word for communion that we've always used down through history is the word Eucharist. And Eucharist is a Greek word. The word eu means good. And then the charis, it's really the basic word is the word grace, but it's also the word for things that you feel because you receive so much of it. It's the word for thankfulness and the word for joyfulness, which are almost the same thing, like thankfulness and joyfulness. They're kind of right there together. If there's any difference between thankfulness and joyfulness or thanks and joy, it would be that thankfulness is kind of the propellant of joy or the booster of joy. It's kind of like if thankfulness and joyfulness, well, there used to be a thing that they had at Young Life camps, not so much anymore because insurance companies got involved, I think, but it was, there's usually kind of a lake in the middle of Young Life camps, and there was something called the blob that they used to have. You don't see them much anymore, but a blob was like a 10 foot by 10 foot by 25 foot multicolored inflatable. Basically, it was a Nabisco shredded wheat. It kind of looked like that. And there was a platform that was maybe 10 or 11 feet high, and two people would climb up the stairs to the platform. Then one person would jump off onto the blob and then scoot to the very front of it where as much as you could, they could have their legs hanging hanging over the edge of it, they would. And then the second person, who was the person who was the bigger of the two, would jump and land on the blob and send the first person like 11 or 12 feet up in the air. And then they would land on the surface of the water at whatever phase of the wild spin they were in from being blobbed off the blob. And if joy and thankfulness was blobbing, then thankfulness would be the blobber and joy would be the blob-e. You know, kind of like if it was the Winter Olympics and the two-man bobsled, the joy would be the one in the front steering and thankfulness would be the one in the back pushing. Or if they were like pair figure skating, thankfulness would be the guy who sends joy spinning like through the air. And that's like the Eucharist, like the time of thankfulness and joy. So I was reading a while back in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where like Paul was talking about we call it the Last Supper, but it was the last Passover that Jesus ate with his closest friends on the night that he was arrested. And I guess you would say it was the first, Eucharist. And Paul said that Jesus took bread and it's that same word, the good thankfulness. He gave thanks. In the Gospels, when it's talking about that moment in the Passover, when Jesus took the bread, in the Gospels, it usually says that he blessed it, except that in the original language of the Gospels, it just says he took the bread and he blessed, or he said a blessing, which is, it's a word that basically means the same thing as being thankful. It wasn't like that he blessed the bread. I've never really understood that thing about blessing your food, like before you eat it, like say a blessing on it to the nourishment of your body. Because like, if you're eating something healthy and you eat it, I mean, it's gonna nourish your body. And if you're eating something that's unhealthy, I mean, you can pray over it all day and it's not going to be any good for you. Like I remember one time a bunch of us went out somewhere we were out one evening and at the end of it, somebody wanted to go to this restaurant where they had this double chocolate, double layer fudge cake that was like drowning in fudge. And everybody got one. I think Tina and I split one. And then before we started, somebody said, does somebody want to? And I knew what they were going to say. Does somebody want to bless this? Like to the nourishment of our bodies. And I'm like, no. You would have to be a Pentecostal to believe that you could like do that. Like a miracle would take place. You know, and this was going to nourish our bodies in any way. I mean, if it was me, I wanted to pray, Lord, forgive us our sins, which we are about to commit from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, so the only time that it specifically says that Jesus blessed food and that has the food as the direct object of the blessing was the time that he actually did change it at the molecular level and made a little guy's lunch enough food for thousands of people. So anyway, it's just kind of like on that night when they were all there together, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks. And I thought, what would he have to be thankful about? I mean, we call that evening Maundy Thursday, but actually, according to Jesus's way of keeping time, according to the Jewish way, it was already Friday because the day started at sunset. And that day wasn't going to end until it saw Jesus stumbling and hammers pounding and thieves swearing and Jesus bleeding and women weeping and his friends hiding and Jesus dying and the sun setting and darkness reigning. And I thought, what could he be thankful for? And I, as he took that bread, and I don't know, I'm just kind of guessing here, but I thought maybe as he took the bread, and just this perfect bread representing his body, which he said, this stands for my body. And the idea that he had a body to give, that he had a perfect life to lay down, that he had lived. And maybe this is what he was thankful for in that moment. I certainly am. That he had lived a life of love. That he had lived a perfect life of love. That he had always loved the Father and always loved everyone and never stumbled for one instant of any kind of unloving sin in any way. Because if he had, he wouldn't have been able to pay for all of our sinful unlovingness. That he was thankful that he had lived a life of love. And maybe he was thankful also for the fact that that day, which was going to be the most horrible day in the history of days, the most horrible day of all of time, that Jesus, on that day, he was going to be betrayed and he was going to be bullied. He was going to be beaten. He would be battered. He would be brutalized. He would be broken. And he would be buried. But it would only be one day. And by the end of the day that he was already in, the worst would be over. That he had lived a life of love. And by the end of the day, the worst would be over. And maybe he was also thankful that by the end of that day, the best was yet to be. That by the end of the day, he would be home. And not only home, but he was going to take someone home with him. A thief who was nailed beside him, who would be dead before Jesus was. And every day since, he's taken people home. When Peter shared the message of Jesus, like a month and a half after this, in the city of Jerusalem, 3,000 people opened their heart to Jesus that day. And one sociologist has figured out that around the world, that many people accept Jesus every hour, 24/7. And the best, somehow, taking us home with him in ways that I kind of hesitate to say it, but somehow in his heart, heaven is somehow better because we'll be there. I mean, I don't understand how that would make it better, but I don't understand love very well. But maybe that's what he was thankful for was, you know, that he had lived a life of love. The worst would be over. And the best was yet to be. And Paul said that when he took that bread, he told them that when they ate it, they should remember him. And I think, what did he mean? Like when they ate the bread at the Passover, like once a year, remember that Jesus died for our sins? Which maybe That's what he meant. Although at the beginning of like our movement, everybody in it was Jewish, but it wouldn't be too long before other people who weren't Jewish were coming into the Jesus movement, and they wouldn't have the habit of doing Passover. And after years, it really wasn't like a thing in the movement of Jesus that everybody did. But they did do that other thing where they would have, on the first day of the week, they would come together and they would eat together and they would do the Eucharist and they would remember him. And so like once a week, let not a week go by that you don't remember that Jesus died for me. And that's probably what he meant, and it's probably what Jesus meant. But you might even take it every time you eat bread. Like every time you eat bread, remember that Jesus died for me. Every day I eat, never forget. I'm eating bread today. I'm alive today. Because Jesus died for me. It's the only reason I'm alive. Like, I'm like that dog. Like, when I was a kid, I don't know if this really happens, but we used to think that when, like, if a dog got picked up at the dog pound, they'd take it to the dog pound. And it had 7 days, and it would be in a cage. And if somebody didn't want it, by the end of the seventh day, they would put it down and throw it away. And it's just like, I'm like that dog. And I'm in my cage, and it's the seventh day, and all of a sudden, I see the face of a 10-year-old boy, and he's looking through the wire, and he's looking at me, and he starts to smile and says, "Hey, buddy, you're going home with me." And we both start to wag our tail. And you know, and because Jesus died for me, I'm living a life of love. I mean, I'm finding out that he loved me. It should have been me that was bullied and beaten and battered and broken and buried, and not even buried, but when they took people down from the cross, normally they would just throw them away on the dump, and that should have been me. But it's because he died for me, because he loved me, because he let that happen to himself for me. And I love him for it. And I'm learning to love. I'm learning about love. I'm starting to live a life of love. And the worst is over. Like, I still have problems and I still have difficult things. But before, when I had difficult things, I didn't have him in my life. And any difficult thing without Jesus is 1,000 times more difficult than the most difficult thing with him. And I can also say, the best is yet to be. And I'm nothing but thankful and nothing but joyful as long as I remember that I'm alive today. I eat bread today. I'm going to go do it here in a little bit. And it's because Jesus died for me. And what if I would ever forget it? And it said that he took the cup, that Jesus took the cup. You know, only Luke says, and he says, when you drink this cup of wine, remember me. That you're drinking this wine because I died for you. Only Luke says in chapter 22, Luke talks about 2 cups of wine. I mean, normally at the Passover, there's 4. But Luke talks about 2, and they drank 1. And then Jesus said, I'm never going to drink wine until I drink it with you in the kingdom of heaven. But that doesn't say we don't. I mean, some people shouldn't. I mean, some people should never drink wine or anything because if they're alcoholic, and as they say in Alcoholics Anonymous, they're allergic to it. But not everybody is. And it says in Psalm 104 that God makes wine to gladden the hearts of women and men. And it's a pleasure, you know. It's one of the things that gives joy to life. And just to remember that if I have something that's fun, or if I have something that's a joy, or if I have something that gives me pleasure, the only reason I'm having any fun at all, or that I get any pleasures at all, is because Jesus died for me. What if I forget it? What if we forgot that? How do you know if you do? I mean, maybe we do sometimes. Maybe I don't remember it every day I eat and drink, not only when I do the Eucharist, but having that good Eucharist, that good Thanksgiving, and that good thankfulness, and that good joy every single day, because I'm remembering every single day the only reason I live, the only reason I have joy and pleasure, is because Jesus died for me, and I don't want to ever, ever forget it. But I feel like, you know, if I ever worry, which Jesus said, don't ever worry. If I worry or I'm anxious, I forgot Jesus died for my sins. If I ever complain, Paul said, never complain about anything. If I ever complain about anything, it's because I forgot that Jesus died for my sins. If I ever judge anyone, judge their heart, judge their motives, the reason I've done that is because for some horrible reason, I've forgotten that Jesus died for my sins. If I'm anxious, it's because I forgot Jesus died for my sins. Almighty God, the Son, the Almighty God of love, the God who is love, and He gave His life for me. He's going to give me everything else I need. Jesus died for my sins. I don't have to worry. If I ever complain, I've forgotten that Jesus died for my sins. What He took is what I deserve. I'm never going to have that. I ought never to complain again as long as I breathe. And if I judge people and criticize them, I've forgotten Jesus died for my sins, for my sins. I have no right to ever judge anybody again. I was watching a video recently, and it was an interview with a pastor who's in heaven now named Eugene Peterson. He's the one that translated the Bible, and it's really kind of a transliteration of the Bible into what's called the Message. And he was just an amazing pastor, an amazing heart. And he was being interviewed by Bono, who is the head of like U2. And Bono noticed that he had a cross on the wall of every room of his house. And he said, yes, so that I never forget that this is what the world we live in does to love. It's a world of violence and hate. And I want to never forget that the cross is the answer. What if I forget? Let's never forget.
Power has no boundary, no, not to men. has failed and the day is half done. When we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's forgiving is only begun. His love has no limit, His grace has no measure, His power has no boundary known unto man. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Oh.